Hello everyone, I hope you're doing great today and I hope everybody enjoys these stories. If you want to support my channel or early access to my videos, make sure you check out my Patreon which is in the description, and make sure you check out my podcast too which is in the description that has all of the stories uploaded there too. I really enjoyed these stories and I think I found really good ones this time and got sent some really nice ones, so let me know what story you enjoyed the most from this. And let me know how you're all getting into the Halloween spirit, because it's only 5 days away, well at least at the time of me recording this. And I do have a quick message I'd like to share before the stories start, so if you want to go straight to the stories themselves, then click on the timestamp in the description below. And for today, I'd like to share this once again regarding mental health advice and something that has helped me. I think it's very, very paramount that you have goal setting and things to work towards. I always find that if I'm focused on something and I have things I can achieve, it kind of takes my mind off of things that aren't necessarily as good for me and kind of keeps me on the straight and narrow in a way. And I find that the worst times for me is when I don't have any goals or aspirations. Even if it's just doing a hobby or something you enjoy, I think it's important to have those things to look forward to and to be able to put effort towards those things. So yeah, I hope that can help some people out there, but just consider it if you don't already. So I hope that helps and I'll speak to you all soon. I'd worked as a ranger for a number of years, and I didn't have anything too creepy that happened to me while I was working. Some of the strangest things that happened was up on a ranch that my family owned. It's somewhere that I'd only go to periodically usually, but the place was beautiful. I remembered the days when I'd wake up with snow blanketed everywhere, especially around Christmas, it was really a nice thing. I remembered on one Christmas Eve when I set out on my dad for a hike in the nearby park that we used to go quite frequently. Now I remember that when we start walking, everything's normal basically. There's a small stream off to our right which looks really pretty, and there's some trees that have some markers on them. Basically, every so often it gets spray painted so you knew what way you had to go. While we're walking, we realise that there's some tracks off ahead of us. What's bizarre about these tracks is they seem to go off into the woods on an opposite direction to the one that we're heading. They kind of just go off the trail a little bit. And I look at my dad and he looks at me and we both smile, and we decide to pursue him. Now while we're walking, nothing's out of the ordinary and I absolutely loved an adventure, so I'm having a really good time. I'm someone who always wore sunglasses too, because I find that my eyes are really sensitive to the snow and light of it. I mean, if I stare at the ground for too long, when I get back home I'll have a headache and everything looks a little bit red, so I have my sunglasses on, but I can see that these snow prints are very pronounced. It looks like lots of different little tracks, and we follow them for a good 5 minutes. My dad says to me, "Son, we won't go too far because we're not going to get back, and best we get back in time before your mother kills us." I say I know, but can we just go a little bit further, Dad? And my dad eventually obliges. So we continue going off the trail, until eventually we can see something up ahead. It looks weird, like something smoking, and my dad quickly ducks down and brings me with him. I say, "Dad, why are we crouching down?" He says, "Son, be quiet." Now, when we look up ahead, I can see a very strange silver object that was probably the size of a car or small truck that slowly lifts above the ground. It was accompanied by a very warm feeling, and it slowly gets above the tree line, then suddenly vanishes. It was completely metallic and disc-shaped, and just looks really weird. I'm not someone who really likes to think UFOs are real, but I'm pretty convinced I saw one. And my dad looks at me kind of weary, and slowly stands up. He tells me to wait here and goes off. I quietly followed behind him. What's weird is it left something behind. We get closer and closer, until eventually, we can see it's some kind of blue goo, sitting there in the snow. Now this looks like it almost glows in the dark, until eventually it kind of gone back to a normal colour, as like a black goo. This all happens in the space of about 1 minute, and we're both mesmerized staring at each other. I go to touch some, but my dad slaps my hand and quickly pushes me back a little bit and says, "Son, don't touch this." What's craziest too is this is exactly where the tracks led up to, and you can see the trees surrounding it are slightly burnt. We ended up hurrying home, and I begged my dad to tell me more about it, but he wouldn't tell me much of anything. Now, my dad didn't tell my mother about it because he knew he'd get in trouble for taking me off of the path, and it was almost Christmas and he didn't want to be in trouble with his wife. But later on, when we're listening to the news, we can hear that there's been some reports of UFO sightings in our area. This is a local channel, by the way, but this really blew my mind and kind of stuck with me. Now, for my next stories, these are ones that have happened in chronological order as I'm getting older. I was probably only about 12 at the time of the first story, but for the next one, it's when I was a bit older, probably about 19. It was also around Christmas time, but just afterwards, and all of my family are around at the ranch. I'm starting to get cabin fever, so decide to set out for a nice walk. Now at the time I'm doing a night walk and it is pretty cold, but I have really good layers on, so I'm pretty warm. Some of the snow has started to melt now and it's actually quite wet and sludgy, but it didn't matter because my snowshoes are really well waterproofed and insulated, so that doesn't really bother me too much. I then start heading into a part of the woods that I know, and my visibility is very good because there's enough snow around that it's reflecting the light everywhere, and my eyes have adjusted to the darkness and I have a head torch on, so I can see where I'm going. Now, I'm really not saying this was a good idea and I truly don't suggest it, especially because nobody knew exactly where I was going. I just said, "Oh, I'm heading out." And if anything happened to me, then it would have been a nightmare to locate me out there. But luckily, I'm still here to tell you this story. Now, as I start on my walk, every so often I notice another light further up. I presume that these are also hikers out, maybe just going for walks like me. Now, every so often I would see the faint glow of their lamps again, and it would slowly go out as they ducked between trees. Now, one thing that I did realise was odd is that it appears almost like they're torches. I don't mean actual LED lights like we have at the moment. These almost look like they just burnt a bit of stick and were carrying it with them. Upon closer inspection, I now realise that what they're holding is lanterns. And this is the first thing that I thought didn't feel right about the situation. I eventually start going parallel to where I was walking and up a small hill where I'm trying to get a better view of these people. I struggle my way up and eventually lose sight of them, but I know if I continue on I should be able to see them again. Being careful not to fall down any ditches, I eventually make my way up to a small hill where I can see them again, and I catch sight. Now, all I can see is the glowing lights. There's two to begin with. Then I pan my eyes around and I can see 3, 4, 5, 6, and slowly, as they get further away, they become more faintly. I can see probably 30 of these lights, all heading up in the same direction. You can tell that somebody's holding it because of by the way that they're kind of bopping up and down, but I can't see anyone. I strain and strain my eyes as hard as I can, having turned off my own headlamp to give me better visibility, but I literally can't see anyone. I sit here trying to figure out what's going on when I hear singing. It almost sounds like the kind of music you hear in churches, but I mean those Italian Roman ones where it's medieval sounding and a very low hum accompanying it. Entirely bewildered by what I'm seeing in front of my eyes, I duck down and stay as still as possible. That's when I hear the low thud of some kind of drum. Thinking that they can't see me, I start to slowly stand up, and that's when it stops. Suddenly, the chanting and the drumming stops and all of the lights do simultaneously. There seems to be another one, and as I'm focusing on the distant lights, I realise that it's getting easier and easier to see. I look over to my right, and to my horror, I realize that they're getting closer to me now, and they're heading in my direction. Now, I can't be certain if I saw them, and they saw me at the same time, or if they didn't notice, but I quickly start up the hill and make my way back to the path. Something else that I realize is bizarre is that there's a lot more tracks now than my own. What scared me the most is realizing that some of the tracks come from the side that I went into, and I'm sure they weren't mine. I managed to make it out of the woods again, luckily in one piece, and I quickly jogged the rest of the way back. Now I'm following a road for a good 20 minutes of walking, but I'm too scared to look behind myself again. I eventually made it back, and I don't tell a soul what had happened. I don't know what I saw that day, maybe it was some kind of cult out there or God knows what, but I'm pretty convinced that they were coming towards me. What really spooks me out is the way that all of them stopped at the same time, and all of them started moving again simultaneously. That's the part that's never really sat well with me. And yeah, you'd think that I'd learnt my lesson by now about those woods, but I hadn't. And especially from later on becoming a park ranger, it kind of fortified my confidence for being out in the wilderness in situations like this. I know, stupid, right? Actually, I've got one strange thing I'd like to share that happened when I was working as a ranger before I get to my final story. Now, it might not be as interesting as the other stories that I'm telling you, but it's something I always thought was quite odd. So, I was in my particular station and I was basically coming up to the end of my shift, and I hear over the radio that there's something the guys want me to check out that somebody else has seen, but they can't really figure out what it is. Apparently, not far from where I'm based, there seems to be a head, just floating. It's not moving and they can't really see it too well in the dark, but they asked me to head over. Now, I didn't tell them at the time, but immediately, adrenaline starts running through my veins as I think of the story I just told you guys about seeing the torches and thinking they're coming back. I have no issue jumping down that tower and going to look at it, because I don't want to be stuck up in that tower with the lights approaching. And it only takes me about 5 minutes to get to the location, but it's definitely ahead, and it appears to be floating. Now, it's not the first time we've had reports of things like this. I mean, usually it's just somebody's bag or coat or whatever, and it looks like it's a person's head. Or sometimes it is actually an animal remain or something, but this was different. It was only about 3 or 4 feet off of the ground, but it definitely was the head. I take a look with my binoculars, and it's wearing makeup, and I start to get a horrible feeling that maybe this is a crime scene, and the other rangers are too scared to investigate it and want me to go out. I think, oh, fine, at least it's not those lights. And with a sudden sense of bravery, I go to investigate. As I'm now gaining on this thing, I realize suddenly through the binoculars that it's not a person's head, at least. It's not an animal's head. It does look like a person, just not a real one. I'm now closing in, and eventually I'm face to face with a doll's head wearing makeup on a stick. Now, what made this particularly creepy is that the face almost looks like it's distorted, like it's seen a horrible crime. Now, I can't really put this one down to kids doing it, because who would be out here? But I don't know, something about it just didn't feel right. But we eventually taken it down and thrown it in the trash and kind of forgot about it. But I guess thinking of it in this moment, it is pretty bizarre. But yeah, unfortunately I don't have too many other things that happen while being a ranger similar to that. But like I said, I do have one more story for you guys of being on that ranch. So again, it's around December time, which is basically when everything strange seemed to happen up there. I don't know why. And me and my dad had basically just got some snowmobiles, and I was really excited to use one. It's something that I'd never really used before, but honestly, they're really easy to use. And being on one of those things where they're so quick and just so capable, it kind of makes you feel a bit fearless in a good way. I had a really good light on mine too, so I wasn't too worried. We ended up going for quite a long way, and we actually had to be careful of fuel because we were burning through it originally. Our plan was to keep them up there and just use it for when we needed to go and get things, especially if the conditions on the road weren't so good. You could kind of go parallel to the roads and you'd be able to get to places relatively quick. Now, we didn't really have a direction to go on in this particular area, but we were just exploring generally now that we have our snowmobiles. Now, we ended up finding a path that had fresh snow on it and no other tracks, so we decided to see where it's going to lead us to. Now, we'd go for a good 5 minutes down this path, and we eventually decide that we should probably start heading back, just in case we get lost. The thing that we're most worried about at the time is that if we had broken down or ran out of fuel, we were going to have an absolute nightmare finding these things again. And if you don't know, they're really not cheap, so I was quite paranoid about losing it out there. Can you imagine the same day we get these things if we had lost them? Now, while we're heading back, we stop for a couple of minutes just to try and figure out some of the features of these. I also am worried that I've went over a rock that's damaged the front of it, but my one was fine, it turned out. Now, as we're doing that, we realize two other people that seem to stand just next to us. They don't say anything, just off in the tree line, but they're very visible. We say, "Hey, Merry Christmas," and they don't say a word. They just walk off. Now, we can't really see too much of them other than their legs, but it's quite creepy. Me and my dad look at each other and we just nod and make our way. It's then that we realize that there's another very tall person kind of just standing there amongst the trees. Again, because of the snow cover and everything, you can't really see much of them, just their legs, but they seemed impossibly tall. This was the first feeling that either of us had, I guess, that something was kind of wrong now. We continue going and stop again as we get about halfway back, and my dad says to me, "Did you see that, son?" I say, "Yeah, the guy standing in the trees." "Yeah, how many did you see?" "How many? I only saw one." "How many did you see, Dad?" And my dad's expression suddenly becomes much less confident. He says, "I saw a row of about four of them walk in, but these guys were tiny. They were literally about 3 feet tall, and they looked almost stick-like." I immediately start questioning this, saying, "Are you sure? Not the tall one." It doesn't make sense because what I saw was in stark contrast to what my dad did. I saw something that was very tall, but my dad has seen people that are very small. We realize that maybe something's wrong now, and we decide that we're gonna head out. Just as we start doing that, my dad's snowmobile forks out and we can't get it running. I quickly kick mine to see if it works, and thank God it does. But I look at my dad and he looks at me kind of worried. I quickly turn on my torch and scan our surroundings and I can't see anything. My dad's then desperately trying to get his snowmobile to work again but doesn't seem to be able to. I start getting a really weird feeling that something bad's about to happen. Just as my dad's trying to kick it back into life, I can hear something in the distance. It's hard to describe, but it's a very low-pitched sound that is barely audible. I ask my dad if he can hear it, but he doesn't even hear me ask the question because he's so caught up in what he's doing. And then, a few minutes later, it comes on much louder than before, and my dad definitely hears it. It's chanting, like what you'd hear in a church again. And suddenly, I remember that story of what I told you earlier. It sounds exactly the same. I'm just glad that my dad's also hearing the same thing as me because honestly, I probably would have questioned my sanity otherwise. We look at each other and my dad starts desperately trying to turn on his snowmobile again, and the singing is getting louder and louder. Now, just as this is happening, a terrible wind picks up at the same time. I know you can get flash floods and things, but this was really weird for me even. I know I've been a ranger for a while now, but I haven't heard anything like this. It's actually like somebody pressed a button, and suddenly the elements are with us, and it starts snowing again really heavily. Every so often, we would hear a faint thunder in the distance and see flashes of lightning. Now, that doesn't make sense. How could the weather have possibly turned so quick on us? And again, my dad just cannot get the snowmobile back into life, and the chanting is slowly getting closer and closer. Now, eventually, my dad manages to kick it back to life, and we both start speeding off. Now, it's almost become impossibly dark because of the storm that's enveloped, and we make it about two-thirds of the way back. Now, we're going at quite an unreasonable pace now, and honestly, the unthinkable happened. As I'm driving ahead, something steps out wearing a gown, looking like an old person with a stick in their hand, and I have no time whatsoever to miss them. I try and move slightly out of the way, but it's no use. I close my eyes and hope for the best, and I open them within less than a second later, and we're still going completely fine. I look at my dad and he looks at me, and we both stop now. Suddenly forgetting about the danger of the situation, I sprint back and try and see if there's anybody laying on the ground that I've just hit. There's no one. I quickly scan around everywhere looking for blood or sign of life, but I can't find anything. My dad looks at me and just says, "Son, let's get out of here." And that's just what we did. I hop back on the snowmobile and we head the rest of the way out of the woods and onto the flat area now where we can follow the road back home. Now, I still don't have any clue what happened that day. I don't know whether it was linked to the first thing that had happened to me with the lights, but I could be wrong, but the singing was exactly the same. And not only did I see myself go straight into somebody, but my dad did too. So how comes I didn't feel the thud of a body? How comes there was no body? Where did this person come from, and why were they there? Now, this actually shaken up my dad so much that he sold the ranch and made up some random reason to my mother, who luckily didn't question it too much. I've tried to discuss this with my father since, but every time we start to get the conversation, every year, my friends and I go on a week-long canoe trip in a national park, usually to do fishing and drinking. This past summer, we decided to stay on Tom Thompson Lake, if you know it, for our main site, which ended up being on an island in the middle of the lake. There's six of us in total, with one group of four in a large tent, one guy in a solo tent, and myself in a hammock between them. One night, we huddled around the fire at about 1 a.m. and we noticed a flare in the sky, which we assumed was adjacent to the lake. We didn't think much of it until an awful scream came across the lake about 20 minutes later. I was the only left sober person at the time, and there wasn't much we could do, so we assumed it was a problem with bears, and we've been warned of them before. The strange part came after everybody had gone to bed at 4, and five of the guys went to their tents and passed out, while I lay in my hammock, listening to them fall asleep. Now, for reference, the group of four are about 30 feet to my right, and the other guys about 100 feet to my left on the shore. As I watched the stars and tried to will myself asleep, I noticed it has suddenly gone incredibly silent. Suddenly feeling creeped out, I slow my breathing and stay as still as I can, thinking about the possible bear and how I was a neatly wrapped meat stack hanging there. Then I heard a voice call about 20 feet to my left by the remains of our fire. It was the voice of my friend, who was one of the guys passed out in tent 4. I hear hellos, which each one sounded motionless. Hello, hello, going on for maybe 6 seconds. Although I immediately recognized his voice, every instinct tells me not to respond. I stay as quiet as I can, like a corpse. I'm honestly listening for absolutely anything. The tension was in the air, and I really felt disturbed. You know how usually you can hear everything in the moment, but here I couldn't really hear anything or tell what was going on. Now it eventually passes, and the next morning, everybody told me that they didn't hear a thing. We actually agreed to move tent sites since we'd gotten a really eerie vibe that night. This was our sixth trip up there, and we never had any experiences like it before. I hope that what I heard was a night camper with an identical voice to my friend, but for some reason I just don't believe it. I'm very cautious now on my future trips because God knows what could have happened to me. Now, I was prospecting out in the Queensland outback. I'm about 100 kilometers from anywhere and the sun is going down. I'm setting up camp by a billabong when something catches my eye up in the ghost gum of my tent. About 30 feet up, in the crook of two branches, is a tray. On the tray is what looks like a full bottle of red wine in a glass, perfectly balanced, looking as though somebody's just placed it there for me. The base of the tree was about 3 meters wide without a branch, knot, or handhold for somebody to get up there. So I never got a close look to work out why or how it got up there, but it's really a bizarre thing. Now I'm somebody who lives in the Yukon, and by my house is a wilderness trail. Great trails, leads to a bunch of lakes. I take my dogs on the leads there every day. Usually I have to walk him for at least 2 hours because he's part husky and has energy for days. Getting him to turn around at any point is really a nightmare, especially if it's less than an hour. So one day, we're heading to the trails and there doesn't seem to be anybody around. Seems actually quieter than normal, and maybe 10 minutes into our walk when we're on the trail, my ears popped for some reason, and it seems like the world's audio's turned off. Something also feels off. I look down and my dog, who normally barks at everything, is cowered down, hackles up, and goes completely silent. It just looks very distinctly up at me with fear. We turn around and he is pulling me back towards the house. He runs into the room and hides under the bed and never comes out. He's there for a few hours. When he did come up, he just started to stare out the window. He refused to go out at all that night. He eventually got over it, but even years later, I still refused to go down that path again. So I was in middle school, and I hunted a lot, mostly with my dad. But I knew the hills and the howlers enough around our home in West Virginia that they would let me take friends. I could go anywhere I wanted or where the dog taken us, but I was told to shy away from this one old home place up in the hills, seen before the government owned it. My great-great-grandmother people owned it. She lived to the age of 107 and died when I was 15. She'd always tell us if the dogs headed up there to head home immediately. Now, you see, I wouldn't fool around there. Well, one night, me and my friend, Snubs, he's got a 9 and a half fingers due to a log splitter accident when he was 10, decided that we're gonna go and find that place exclusively and hunt there. Had to be a prize grand raccoon up there. Nobody hunts it. We took off up the creek road on foot with 3 of the dogs. And these are 3 of the best dogs I've ever had. Now, you know when you get to the Rooney place, because it's this big flat end at the bottom of a creek with big half-dead field trees and piles of field stones about every 30 feet at random for about half a mile that gradually turns up into a draw that peters out and fades off into the mountain. This is before GPS collars or anything like that. I used my dad's old carbide lamp to walk by, and Nubs would use his dad's old wheat miner's light to spot the way in the trees. We would let the dogs run until we heard them bellowing. These weird growls we've not really heard, but somewhat signs of some raccoons there. About 500 yards away, with a short chase, the dogs barked. Now we start walking towards them, up in the mouth of the cove, and the dogs took off again. This is not unheard of. A raccoon can jump tree, come down another and sneak off. And a circling dog picks up the fresh tracks and they go off. This happened 6 more times in the next 2 hours. That was definitely weird. And then everything goes silent. That's when I started shaking. I knew my dogs. I've watched 2 of them fight bears. Nothing scared them. Although the dogs come back to us with their tails tucked, head low and quiet as hell. We were working on an exit plan when, you know, when you shake a tree limb that it's rained on all night and all of the drops fall on the ground at once? That's what happened, but about 20 yards behind me. Only this was a huge oak about 75 feet from the first limb. While we're trying to see what was in that tree, really not sure if the same thing was going to happen to the one we're standing under, when John really got scared and said that we have to get out of here. We backed out of there and ran home as fast as we could, never hunted near that place again. I can't say for sure what was in that tree, but it looked like a man running through the treetops. It was years before I ventured in that place in daylight. Did a little digging at the courthouse when I was in college. Come to find out, it was a logging town when the Spanish flu come through, had a mill and everything. The flu killed so many people in that town that there wasn't enough living to bury them. My hometown's people went up and buried the dead. If you take a black crown and a piece of paper and scroll it on the biggest rock pile, it's the names of the dead buried there. My great-great-great-grandmother's dad bought it for $4.50 off the lumber mill, burned the last of the structure and farmed it for the rest of his life. When he passed away, my great-great-grandmother and her brother sold it to the government. It's now a part of a national forest. When I was in the Scouts, or rather the local equivalent, legally adult Scouts had to do 3 feather challenge, 1 day without food, 1 day without speaking, 1 day and 1 night alone in the woods with only a knife and tarp, unseen by any other human, after which you have to sneak back to the Scout camp unnoticed by the camp master. God, that's intense. I'd already understand that. It was my 3rd day, so I took off, walked for miles through the woods and found the remote spot in the wilderness, in a very overgrown patch of woods. Spent a spooky but uneventful night until almost dawn rises when I decided to go for a morning swim in the lake right before taking off to go back. I strip nude and go towards the lake, but I noticed a group of guys fishing, so decided to go back. Suddenly, the ground underneath my feet caved in and I found myself submerged up to my armpits in a vile mass that smelled horrible. It turned out to be a patch where hunters would illegally leave the leftovers of things they had hunted that literally fermented for weeks. Imagine the scene. A group of anglers hear some ungodly scream from the direction of the wood and run there to see if somebody needs help. What they find is a teenager covered in blood and things, who is crawling out of the ground, shrieking and whimpering at them, and runs past them to wash off in the lake. Now in these hollows, I'm not often surprised. You fall into a rhythm here. The longer you spend, the less things you see or hear that are truly surprising. One animal that always surprises me is a cat. I was 9 when I realised that my mum's barn cat always ate the heads off first on mice. When I was 11, I realised all cats do that, big and small. I was walking up to the headwaters of a tributary of an Elk River. Elk River is a wild stream. It boils, rolls and digs deep in holes that incur the full raft of the river. The streams that feed the elk are steep, fast and cold most of the year. But in August, everything heats up. Big trout escape the warming water by sneaking up any small streams not dried up and eat any fish or creature that they can fit into their gully. Surprisingly, I caught a brown just over 20 inches, half a mile up from the gully. It's in a stream that you can stand on both sides. But I digress. Me and my friends used to catch a ride with his older brother, a log truck driver. He would drop us off at one of those tributes in the morning and pick us up on the last trip of the evening. Only thing he would tell us is watch out for the rattlers and you have yourself besides the road at 5 or you walk in. So, with a sack lunch and fishing poles, we would take off into the shadowy hollows. Me and Nob was leapfrogging up this long, rocky creek, catching brooks in every hole, fishing towards lunchtime at the head of the stream. I got a little away from Nob in a long stretch of unfishable winter water, leading up to the falls. As I finally found a piece of land flat enough to rest above the falls, I look around and I see something off about it. I can't really describe it, but this laurel thicket's limbs are bent the wrong way. Leaves turned up like it's broken. I walk closer and it looked like something greyish white hanging up the tree. Now Nob finally caught up to me, bragging over the roar of the water how he's caught and released over 47 on this stream, and how there ain't no trout above those falls. And why do I always climb up and fish past them on dead water? And he sees me standing there, surprised. Nob stops, caught his breath, and said to me, why the hell was I staring at the sun? I told him, be quiet and look at the tree. What's hanging from it? We walked closer, and it looked oddly familiar. That's when I realized it was deer hair. Hell, that was a deer carcass hanging up the tree. An old one, but just a carcass. We couldn't figure out how it could have got up there. It was close to noon, and we was a long way from the hall road. So we start eating lunch and making our way down. I popped a can of Beanie Weenies and dug out a bologna sandwich, and Nob pulled out two cans of pop and handed one to me. Now we're sitting about 30 yards away from our conversation piece and ate lunch. After we've satisfied our growling bellies, we sat and rested for a few minutes. Nob stood up to go for a wander and urinate. How do you reckon the deer got up there? He said, well, I don't know, Nob. Maybe it climbed up there and died or something, dragged it up there. Nob, you ever knew a bear drag anything up there? Why wouldn't it? Nothing is running off from a bear holding a deer. When he turned around, I could see the fear all over him. We silently packed up lunch, broke down our poles, and commenced to get out of there as soon as we could. We made it back to the hall long road an hour before his brother was coming and left an arrow pointing made out of sticks so we knew where we started walking and so that way he could catch us on the way. It starts raining now. We're halfway back to the old mill when I heard that old triax rumbling up the hall road. We took shelter under a grown over iron tree beside the road. It's not really like it mattered and we're waiting for him to catch up. We climbed up into the truck and stashed our gear and told him what we saw. As he drove us out, we stopped at the mill to unload and Nob's brother told us to come on and we have to talk to someone. We told our story to an older gentleman who worked off at the mill and he drove us back down the hall road and marked with the hollow with a pink ribbon. Years later, I found out that old man was a farmer and had been losing sheep there for years. And finding them hanging up trees, even young calves too. We stumbled into the hollow that cats called home. At least I think it was cats, but this was my first experience with them and it really scared me. Now this evening was uneventful and we went to bed in individual tents around 9:30. It's about 2:30 a.m. We're woken up by a huge boom. It wasn't a gunshot, but sounded more like a black powder cannon going off, echoing through the whole valley. We come out of our tents and discuss what we all heard. a little on edge since it was close to us, but eventually tried to go back to sleep. As I'm laying in my tent, unable to sleep, staring up at the ceiling, I kept seeing shadows on the tent walls. I would swear I'd see the silhouette of a person walking towards the tent, but as I'd look at it, it would disappear as quickly as I realized it's there. I decide I'm just seeing things and close my eyes, eventually falling to sleep. Next thing I knew, I'm being awoken by a young sounding female voice saying, "Dad, Dad." I jolt awake, unsure of what I actually heard, so I'm laying there. Check my watch, which says 5:13 AM. Wide awake this time, about 30 seconds later, right next to my tent, I hear very urgently, "Dad, Dad." There was something off about the voice too. It was just creepy. I got major chills, like nothing I've ever experienced. Now, A, my daughter didn't come with us, and B, there were no females in our small group. It's pitch black, and I see no flashlights. No more light from the fire. I'm trying to rationalize what I'm hearing and sit up in my tent, thinking maybe a camper from another site wandered into our site thinking she was at her dad's tent. I unzip my tent, shine my flashlight out, and catch a glimpse of a black bear walking off into the woods. I uncontrollably at this point let out a slow swear, waking up the rest of my group. So of course we do searching around. So of course we do some searching around with our flashlights and find nobody else. This whole experience was just crazy. What did I hear? Do black bears make sounds like that where they're calling out for people? Or was it a ghost that was warning me about the bear? A guardian angel? Or I don't know. It just truly scared me. I worked as a ranger for a couple of years, and most of the things that happened to me could be explained. No wait, everything could. Except for this one particular event that I still don't understand now. Now, on this particular day in question, everything was normal and as it seemed. Now, I was basically on a patrol, and having a pretty good day to be honest. Everything seemed to be going perfectly well, when I kept hearing a strange sound. I could hear a piano being played somewhere in the distance. Yes, it was a little ways off the trail, but the curiosity of this really got the better of me. I decided that I should head towards it, and it sounded like somebody was playing songs that were kind of old but very off-key. Almost like, you know, when a piano needs to be tuned or when like an animal runs across it. So yeah, I thought this was pretty weird, and for the best thing I could do was just try and get to the bottom of this. Now, it felt like I was walking for an eternity to actually find this, but in reality it was probably only about 4 or so minutes. I eventually get off into a small clearing, and there you have it, a piano. Now, what was really bizarre is that the piano seemed to be playing itself. There was no one around, and this thing looked pretty old. I decide that I want to figure out exactly what's happening here, and I bravely get closer and closer to it, until eventually I'm right next to it, and I can hear that the sound isn't actually coming from the piano, but from a tree. Starting to wonder if I'm losing my mind, I quickly glance around to try and see if anybody's there laughing at me, but there's no one. Now, I get closer and closer to this tree when I find a tape recorder stuck to it. Somebody's basically glued it on there, and they're playing the sounds of a piano being played. I press stop and look around. I don't see anyone. Being very creeped out suddenly, I radio in what's happening, and I wait for help to arrive, and eventually another one of my friend rangers shows up. He looks just as confused as I am, and not really sure what to make of it. We take the recording back to the station. We are actually worried that something was really bad here, and we've given it into law enforcement, but they dust it and couldn't find any prints whatsoever. As for the piano, the next day we went to go and retrieve it, because it might be a hazard to people or animals, but it vanished. We literally gone back to the exact same spot where we'd seen it, and it was nowhere to be found. Still have no explanation to what happened to this day. I don't know how it could have appeared or how it could have vanished so quickly, but it did. I worked as a ranger for a couple of years, and most of the things that happened to me could be explained. No wait, everything could. Except for this one particular event that I still don't understand now. Now, on this particular day in question, everything was normal and as it seemed. Now, I was basically on a patrol, and having a pretty good day to be honest. Everything seemed to be going perfectly well, when I kept hearing a strange sound. I could hear a piano being played somewhere in the distance. Yes, it was a little ways off the trail, but the curiosity of this really got the better of me. I decided that I should head towards it, and it sounded like somebody was playing songs that were kind of old but very off-key. Almost like, you know when a piano needs to be tuned or when like an animal runs across it. So yeah, I thought this was pretty weird, and for the best thing I could do was just try and get to the bottom with this. Now it felt like I was walking for an eternity to actually find this, but in reality it was probably only about 4 or so minutes. I eventually get off into a small clearing, and there you have it, a piano. Now, what was really bizarre is that the piano seemed to be playing itself. There was no one around, and this thing looked pretty old. I decide that I want to figure out exactly what's happening here, and I bravely get closer and closer to it, until eventually I'm right next to it, and I can hear that the sound isn't actually coming from the piano, but from a tree. Starting to wonder if I'm losing my mind, I quickly glance around to try and see if anybody's there laughing at me, but there's no one. Now, I get closer and closer to this tree when I find a tape recorder stuck to it. Somebody's basically glued it on there, and they're playing the sounds of a piano being played. I press stop and look around. I don't see anyone. Being very creeped out suddenly, I radio in what's happening, and I wait for help to arrive, and eventually another one of my friend rangers shows up. He looks just as confused as I am, and not really sure what to make of it. We take the recording back to the station. We are actually worried that something was really bad here, and we've given it into law enforcement, but they dusted it and couldn't find any prints whatsoever. As for the piano, the next day we went to go and retrieve it, because it might be a hazard to people or animals, but it vanished. We literally gone back to the exact same spot where we'd seen it, and it was nowhere to be found. Still have no explanation to what happened to this day. I don't know how it could have appeared, or how it could have vanished so quickly, but it did. So my wife and I were on our honeymoon in the Shenandoah Valley National Park in Virginia 2019. Now, we were excited to get an early evening hike in, as we'd just arrived in town. We were driving to do a hike on Skyline Drive at around 6 p.m. in a thick mist with overcast skies. We passed a strange looking solitary man on the road a few hundred yards back before the trailhead. I made a comment to my wife about how odd he looked. We hiked about 1.5 miles up the mountain to the end of the trail where it terminated at the AT. My wife stopped to pee and we collected ourselves before we head back down towards our vehicle. Out of the mist, not making this up, the guy come from the road we'd passed earlier. He was low-key brandishing one of those combination hatchet hammer multi-tools on his side. He wasn't just carrying it, it was raised. It got a bit creepier. He made a comment as we passed him about how he found a set of teeth. That was the last time he was up there. We made an awkward acknowledgement of what he had said, nervously laughing, and then quickly started down towards our vehicle. Looking back up to see where he was, we can't find him at first. Once we're 100 feet away or so, we began running for the mountains. We'd stop every minute or so to listen and observe, but we couldn't hear much else. We made it back to our car, but we're in shock. We would read a few weeks later about somebody who'd been arrested in connection with a killing near the area.